Welcome to Blog Talk Radio. This is Westchester on the Level with your host, Hezzy Eris.
Good morning, everybody. Well, today is Monday. It's the 3rd of May, 10 o'clock on the Eastern Seaboard. And this should be the first full week of programming where I won't miss any of the time slots. Well, we're waiting for John Bailey, the White Plains Citizen-Net reporter, publisher, and editor to call. We're going to talk to him about a couple of issues specific to the city of White Plains, the conduct expected from the Common Council regarding a new telecommunication codes and installation of new small cell antennas required for 5G protection and for residents. And we're also going to talk about the board of the Gedney Association in their 2021 vote to firmly oppose proposed rezoning of the 701 Westchester Avenue to permit a 360-unit apartment complex, and there's more complexity to that as well. And then we're going to talk to Michael Edelman. Unbelievable news coming from Westchester, the Supreme Court, from what's going on with Democrats and statehood, and also what's happening with Washington Post, the New York Times, and NBC News, and their error in reporting. Well, here we go with John Bailey. Good morning. Such a pleasure to talk to you today. I've missed you.
Good morning, and welcome back.
Thank you very much. I'm so excited. There's so much going on in White Plains. My God, I feel like I've been thrown into the big arena, and I was so interested in reading about the 5G technology that's coming in. Yet my big question is, their insurance will not pay for any liability that may come about because of the installation of this type of equipment. So insurance company says, no, we got a problem here, folks, so we're not going to insure it. Is anyone insuring this sort of technology? And if not, why would the Common Council consider approving it anyway? Oh, is this all about the money, or is it about safety?
Well, I think it's all about the money, because the city receives a franchise fee for being approved for installing this, because it's a monopoly on for the city.
High speed.
It gives them an exclusive, basically. And
the
city gets paid for that.
The city can get paid for it, but then wouldn't we very, very quickly, should the product or the construct of these units that would be put up produce such radio frequencies that would undermine children as well as adults? And if the insurance companies don't want to accept liability on it, is there any community anywhere in the United States or even the world that we're familiar with that says it's okay?
Well, the problem is with this legislation is that the city is ignoring lots of evidence across the country that other cities and towns have put tighter restrictions on how these installations of 5G and high-powered radiation facilities can be put into their towns. And this is a matter of fact. And so, therefore,
if I'm understanding you correctly, that means you're suggesting that other places realize it's deleterious to society and to people, and they can get sick from it. But in companies where they change the legislation or the demands of the legislation, does that protect the communities and does it protect the people, or does it do nothing?
It depends on how specific your ordinance is. as with any point of law, as anyone examining any Supreme Court decision lately will tell you, there's lots of nuance. And the more nuances you put into a law, the better. Of course, if you don't spell out, say, you can't put a cell tower within 500 feet of a school or 500 feet of a block of residences, that is a specific. Now, the ordinance doesn't contain that, the new ordinance that the city is considering it. So
that's the question again.
Yeah.
The question again becomes, do we know what is efficacious in a situation like this, or is the technology so new that nobody has best practice? So we don't know if it's kept 100 yards away from the unit, it's safe, or if it requires 1,000
yards. Yeah, I think you're right. There's not an absolute standard as to when it's safe and when it's not safe, because that would, of course, if a person got sick from the radiation and it was within the specified limits, then the specified limits would specified that aren't correct would give liability to the organization or city imposing them. Okay, I mean liability.
And what about? But if you can't buy liability insurance, then what's the point of approving something when people are going to get sick and they're going to sue?
Well, the ordinance
it's
going to
wipe out
that,
the $1 million fee that you get every year.
Right.
So quickly, then,
I think their betting is down the road. I think the city is betting that this might be a factor, but it won't happen till many years hence.
I see. Well,
that was like cigarettes for many years. Think about how cigarettes were the backbone industry of the country back in the 20s, 30s, 40s. Everybody smoked.
But the question then was, did we know that it would be deleterious to one's health, or did we not know? Hold on one split second. Okay, but I'm on radio till 12, right? Later, John. Oh, I'll talk to you later. Sorry, John. So the big question again was when they were doing smoking, and in the 20s or 30s or whenever it began, everybody was making a lot of money. But did we know it would be deleterious to one's health, or did we not know that at all? And we just kept waiting and waiting and waiting, and people died.
Right. I recall how cigarettes were promoted in the 30s and the 40s. Athletes were smoking them.
Right.
Doctors in white coats on televisions promoted them. And alleged doctors, actors playing doctors in white coats. And it was they all denied it. But then cancer went up exponentially in the 40s and 50s.
Okay,
I think it did,
and it was
but I'm not sure about that.
But let's presume it happened at one point.
Yes,
along the timeline. So whenever that was, we didn't change much, even in the 40s or 50s or even 60s, when people were smoking like fiends.
Yeah,
and
they didn't ban TV.
Everybody was smoking on TV.
Until
no, and they also, and the actors also who played in roles were also smoking. And but at that point, did we have liability insurance? Because I don't remember if we had liability insurance and you could sue a manufacturer of cigarettes. You know what really blew my mind just as a corollary to this? I heard only about a week ago, I didn't hear it, that they want to stop the menthol cigarettes because it is more deleterious to one's health than anything they've ever had before. But look how many years it's taken to get that off the shelf.
Yes, Salem cigarettes comes to mind. First big menthol brand.
Yeah, Newports and all the others.
Yeah, Newport. And that really was then to appeal to the black community.
Yeah, it did. I don't know why, but specific black communities favor that cigarette type over others. You know what, look, you and I cannot argue the efficacy of this particular issue because I, at least for myself, I could say I don't know what the small cell antennas will do or won't do. We don't know how long they want to wait before somebody brings a lawsuit against them.
Yeah. Right.
But the bottom line story here is that we have people who vie and want to become elected to office and do. It's just because they want to. They don't have the intellect, the background, the intelligence, or the scientific know-how to make a decision on something that is so crucial. And that's not just in White Plains. It's everywhere.
Look, you have people in nice suits and white ties, exemplary members of the bar representing these associations that want to do things that impact the communities that they will be placed in. And it is much easier to believe the corporations than it is to deny them.
No, I agree with you wholeheartedly on that, except there's a failure in that argument, and that is the people who vie to become our elected officials, are they not even smart enough to figure out that the lawyers are getting paid and we're going to get sick, and the lawyers may not even live here?
Well, they don't even have to wonder about that because the studies done that came out as recent as the late as 2008, I think it was 2008
right.
in my article, pointed out how radiation from high-powered radiation does affect children and adults and teens as their brains are growing, and they
Correct.
Have proven this. This has been proven, and the companies that promote the high radiation say that this just is they don't pay attention to it, and they'd rather believe the companies that say, well, these are loaded surveys or whatever, but they're not. I mean, I've looked at it. I've put the stuff up on my website, and these people are not crackpots who are making these studies. They're people from prestigious universities and who are used to doing this, and they know what they're doing. So why ignore the science?
Well, exactly. Why ignore the science? Everybody's been a crackpot for the last 100 years or even probably before and into the future, seemingly, because money trumps science. And money
always
trumps,
does. Money talks, nobody
your
talks.
Ability. Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, to be honest with you, I don't think I have the financial wherewithal to sue one community or another, no matter how big they are. but the point is, someone should be suing the Common Council if they vote this through before anything gets done. Even if the legislation is passed, go forward.
I don't know if you can sue on speculation that you might be affected by it, but it would be an interesting concept.
Well,
you know,
I don't think
indemnity
well,
if you get
no,
sick.
No, people don't. Everyone that smoked cigarettes didn't die of cancer. Everyone
no, but we got cigarette settlements. Don't forget, Westchester County is what it is today because of the cigarette settlement, which was used to infinitely expand county government and infrastructure. Remember?
But that's the point. The point yeah. is that are we there to make
we
a
there.
Day
yeah.
after everyone is sick, or are we mm-hmm. there to make sure that nobody gets sick? And if the technology can't be upped, maybe if they would work another 6 months, they could fix it from the technology perspective.
This is what
you know,
this is all the persons want the city to do is to pay attention, make the ordinance specific. They have even given the city of language that they feel should be put into the ordinance based on previous successes across America. That the
okay, but wait a minute. You know, that's all very nice and good.
Yeah,
except
right.
has anyone bothered to ask any of the insurance companies that would sell insurance to the city mm-hmm. to make sure that we're talking about will be sufficient so that a liability insurance will be in place, and if it's approved, then at least the city is protected and the people to the best of what's possible, in spite of the fact that big business is going to try to push this and ram it through.
Yeah. What big business is doing, you know, what the big business is doing is they say the companies will insure it. They themselves, the companies installing the 5Gs, they will insure it.
Oh, they're gonna insure it? And do you have that
yeah.
in writing?
Yeah, yes.
Bozo,
the ordinance
the
says
have that,
that
in writing? According. Did you see it in writing?
According to the ordinance.
You know what, John? I am sick
ordinance.
And tired of hearing everybody saying it's there, but it's not. And when it comes to the lawsuit, the city loses, the people lose, and it goes on and on and on. I mean, when is this all going to stop?
Well, the
do you know how many
insurances
I hear every day?
I know. I'm just saying, telling you what the ordinance says. That's all. I'm not saying that.
Okay.
Is the,
that's
the
not
solution.
Good enough.
Yeah. I don't think
no,
it is.
No, it's not
either.
Good enough.
No, because you can't. You have to have the suits brought individually. You cannot do a group's lawsuit anymore.
Okay.
Remember
so what
that,
does that
decision
mean?
By our
do...
wonderful Supreme Court?
I
you
don't
cannot,
know what, does, what
you can. You cannot do
what
a
does
group
that mean?
Lawsuit. In other words,
okay,
you
so
can't get
if
2,000 people
I would...
saying they were damaged, okay, and
okay.
sue a company. It has to be done on an individual basis. But not everybody
okay.
has the money to do that.
Okay, so then some people will and some people won't.
Yeah.
And so you can't get like 10,000 people to sue. You can only have one individual sue at any given moment, and you may
yeah.
have 10,000 lawsuits. Okay,
right.
So that makes it more difficult because of the cost of doing that. But they, so in other words, something like the lawsuit with regard to mesothelioma, that could never
yeah.
happen again.
That's
that
right.
That's what you're
That's
okay.
what I understand.
Okay.
Because this was a major,
sure
major victory
saying.
In the Supreme Court by corporations.
Right. Okay.
Yeah.
That makes a lot of sense, John.
Yeah.
Well, it's very, very frightening. Well, I can't believe it, but there are other things to talk about in White Plains, of course, which always
the smorgasbord of skullduggery is what we have going on today.
Well, we have that everywhere, John.
Yes.
So even though I think you're unique, I don't know if White Plains is unique that way. I could go on and on and tell you about Yonkers and Mount Vernon and so many other places. Anyway, I want to ask you about the board of the Gedney Association.
Yes.
They had a March 2021 venomously opposing the rezoning of 701 Westchester Avenue, which would have permitted 360-unit apartment complex. Mm-hmm. What's the issue there? And evidently, things have changed since it was approved.
Well, it hasn't been approved. This is a proposal.
Oh.
Okay.
Oh, it's just a proposal?
Yes. What has happened is that a lot of the office parks along Westchester Avenue don't have a lot, as many tenants as they used to. People are moving out of them. And the places are losing money now. So there is this idea that they can repurpose the some of these into residences. And that is what this is done. That is being built up. Something like that is being built out at 1133 Westchester Avenue. And so therefore, this is the owners of the 701 complex feel that they can take the 701 building and build apartments on top of it, and therefore making that portion at least a moneymaker again. And the neighbors throughout the South End feel that this is really encroaching on their neighborhoods, and it will also detract from the downtown, because you're going to have, like, retail in the base of the apartments. But we have yet to see the design for this project and how it will work out. But once again, this is a situation whereby if you do it, you cannot tell what the consequences will be. But it is a tradition in White Plains that whatever developers want, they adjust the zoning. This tradition has been going on since we approved the city center back in 2002. Mm-hmm. And that we changed the zoning in the downtown to allow for historics.
Mm-hmm.
Never used to be 40, 20.
So what is the rationale for the Gedney Association and other associations like the Old Oaks Association, the North Street Civic Association, the Rosedale Residential Association?
It's the single home communities rejecting management of multifamily, the increase of major apartment complexes. As you know, we have, I believe, about 10 going up in White Plains. Some of them haven't even started yet because of the lack of financing from the various companies that have these site plans approved to build them. And we're just now beginning to see the effect of it. We're seeing the Mitchell going up on Post Road and Mamaroneck Avenue.
Uh-huh.
The Continuum opened up down on 55 back. We don't know how that's filling up yet. But these are expensive apartments that are growing up. Expensive.
So it seems that the neighborhood associations are making some basic rationale, but because they moved in probably 50 years ago, individually and collectively now.
Yes.
Is that a dying concept? Do we have to change? Is that what's happening? Or is it just strictly a battle between neighborhood associations and big business that think they're going to make money, but they don't live there, they don't have to suffer the consequences?
Well, they want to. It's really a power thing, I think. Because I live in the south end of the White Plains, and I rarely go into the downtown because, A, number one, it's hard to park. There's not much I want to go there that I can't get by off of Amazon. And, I even buy shoes through the Internet now, and it works.
Yeah.
There's no
everybody
reason.
Does.
Yes. And so therefore, retail has really suffered. White Plains is now a restaurant town, basically. And they have a very bad parking policy that prevents people from really wanting to come into White Plains. When to get a $25 ticket, you don't particularly want to come back anymore. And the city continues to go with this revenue-producing policy, which hurts their attractiveness. I mean, Yonkers,
to the major issue, and that is that our buying habits are changing. The retail stores are closing down. Amazon is all that vitality away from them, and people are ordering, and it's being delivered to their home. And even as we age, it's a lot easier to get it delivered. And we are aging. It's not like we're a young community anywhere. We're just an older community. There are more people who are over 50 than there are under 30.
It's important to note that the apartments were approved because the city reasoned, well, if we get more people living in the downtown, they will immediately go down and shop right where they live, close to Mamaroneck Avenue and various other stores.
Right,
but
that was a mistake.
Because the retail is gone,
there's no reason.
That may not happen, and the buildings haven't been built yet, so we haven't got the residents in yet. You know,
that's very,
I mean,
very
this
true.
Is a problem. There was a reason for that, which seemed to make sense.
Well, maybe at that time, but then you need people who look into the future and have a better sense of what is to come. You know,
right. Demographic changes and shifts. Better planning.
Do we know? Do we yet know? Is anyone? I'm certainly not familiar with anyone that's suggesting that there's a better way to look at our future, even if it's only 5 years hence, because we've already seen that the building downtowns for stores is a failure and continues to fail.
Well,
so where's our tax?
One has to see how our recovery really recovers, and we don't know how that's going to happen. We have lots of rosy, absolutely Pollyannic predictions of what a boom economy America's going to have this year when everything returns to normal, but I'll believe it when I see it. I think a lot of people's habits have changed. Unless you like going out to a bar or a restaurant every night, I can't see daily jumps in activity. I can.
Yeah.
We have learned to live within ourselves.
Yeah. We'll see. Is it all? I'm really not quite sure at all how that's going to work. Well, any last words from you, John? That was a very compelling half hour. It's not quite a half hour, but as usual, you're very compelling.
Tell that to my wife. You know, you should pay attention to this guy. He's more compelling. But at any rate,
but that's everybody. Every man
I just
you
think
know
everybody should use restraint, save money, and be able to take care of yourself.
Yeah, absolutely.
In other words, don't go out and just spend money because somebody is telling you it's patriotic to do so. You have to take care of yourself.
Very true, because nobody else is going to be able to take care of
you. No, they don't. And you look all around and see how all the bailout did. Corporations fired people when they were supposed to use their bailouts to avoid firing. And nobody is doing a clawback.
But that's because, just like what we're talking about today with regard to the 5G, that's what Washington, D.C. did, and they didn't look at the ramifications, and we are where we are today. Again, with people who make decisions yet are incapable of making those decisions. Or inept.
Well, they make the easy decision. They make the easy
decision. Well, that's true, too.
The easy decision.
That's how they get reelected, right?
Yes, that's right. And now we have the state legislature in Albany basically taking credit for the third round.
Well, it is what
you
it
know,
is.
You know, they're opening up
out,
and they're trying to seize
John.
This issue. And look what India did. India said they'd beaten COVID. Everything opened up, and now that nation is in the death throes.
Absolutely. Well, we got to say goodbye to you, John. So those are the death throes of radio. And we'll talk to you next
right.
week. All the best to you. Thank you.
Right. Yes, right. So long and not goodbye. Bye-bye.
Okay, let's talk to Michael Edelman. He's the national political analyst and pundit. Good morning, Mr. Edelman. How are you, sir?
Good, Ezzy. How you doing?
Thank God. Okay, they're keeping me alive and well, kicking
That's
and
good.
Doing, and which is really terrific. And I'm thrilled I'll be able to do the radio broadcast from my hospital room, which is really cool. Well, I wanted to ask you about a lot of stuff that's going on. It was such a busy Friday and Saturday that there was no need to even, or rather, I didn't take the time to hear what they were talking about on Sunday morning shows. But one of the most interesting things that came about is everybody's aware of Ruth Bader Ginsburg dying at a most inappropriate or a non-propitious time, because that allowed the Republicans at that time to get somebody else in, and they approved Amy Coney Barrett. And
yeah.
she's a more very conservative as opposed to the very progressive Ruth Bader Ginsburg. And now we have Justice Stephen Breyer, 82, in perfect
yeah.
health, not like Ruth Bader Ginsburg. Why are we trying to push him out?
Well, he's 82, and if they get
right.
rid of him, if he resigns, the president will be able to pick somebody who's younger and of the same
yes.
Belief as Breyer, which is
correct.
He's a liberal.
Correct.
If they don't, you don't know when there's going to be another Democratic president. That doesn't mean he has to
Absolutely.
Leave today, but it means he has to leave
no.
before this president term is up.
Correct. Well, the way he's been, the way I've been reading, because I don't talk to the man. I don't even know what he looks like. Basically,
mm-hmm.
I can't even give you an image. But the bottom
mm-hmm.
line is, he's healthy. But the point is, if he waits as long as Ruth Bader Ginsburg, then the opportunity
yeah.
may be lost to this particular
That's
administration.
Right.
And
That's right.
so there's talk that he
well,
is considering stepping down by the summer.
Well, yeah, he should. There should be a rule that judges cannot serve past, let's say, 78 years old. I mean, there's no
okay.
reason you lose. I mean, there's no reason to have life appointments. There should be a term limit of some sort so that you can plan to replace whatever judge is about to leave. 82, that's a nice long career, and that's enough.
Yes. Well, also that's the other thing as well, isn't it? When if we're going to do it for Supreme Court justices, then we should also
yeah.
be doing it for people in elected office that are in Congress. So maybe that would be appropriate, but there doesn't seem to be a drive toward that.
Mm-hmm.
But again, like how should it be expected that the Supreme Court justice stepped down for the benefit of the Democratic Party that is now more progressive than even the justices presently? Justice Breyer is progressive, but not as progressive as many new voices that we're hearing now. Is that part of the
mm-hmm.
problem of old age? Or being in office for too long?
Well, look, you've got members of the United States Senate that are in their 80s. Nancy Pelosi is pushing
yeah.
80, if not. Yeah.
Yes.
There should be limits. There should be limits to everybody's service. Okay? Give younger people a chance. Let the fresh air come in. Let the new ideas come in. And let not these parties rest on their laurels and think, oh, we have our leaders in place now. We don't have to worry. I think it's healthy for a change.
Absolutely. Very, very fascinating discussion on that alone. I wonder if we're going to have a big one on it.
Yeah.
Because basically, though, the nation is older, isn't it? It's not a young society. We're not in our 30s and 40s and 50s.
No.
We're in our 70s and 80s.
Well, not everybody. You got other generations. But the point is,
well, of course.
If you don't get, if these people keep getting reelected when they're in their late 70s and early 80s, you're preventing younger people from entering the fray. And when you do
Correct.
you're limiting what the government does to old people.
Absolutely. Very, very interesting perspective, but thanks for raising that. That's really cool. Well, I wanted to ask you about something else that's happening. West Virginia Senator Joe Manchin. He's a he doesn't want to approve the Washington, D.C. from becoming a state. And he says if we're going to make it a 51st state, then it should be a congressionally decided. And why were they thinking of not getting it done that way? It seems to make logical sense because wouldn't it change the equation in order to undermine the whole process?
Well, that's why there's so much opposition to it, because D.C., if it was a state, would have two Democratic senators. Forget the Congress.
Right.
Congress is not relevant.
Right.
And that would change the formula for who controls the Senate. It's 50-50 right now, but then it would be 52-50, right? And that's a lot.
And
that's
then
a lot
also
better
talk
than
about Puerto 50-50. Rico, too. Talk about Puerto Rico as well.
Mm-hmm.
And they would likely go down on the Democratic side, too.
Same thing. So that's the same thing. So Republicans are saying, wait a minute, you can't pull the rug out from under what we've been doing here for the last 200 years. You can't just go ahead and add four Democrats to the United States Senate. And they're not wrong, you know, because the effect will be obvious. Now, one of the solutions is to the argument that the people in D.C. are not represented in the Senate is to divide Washington, D.C. up into parts of Virginia and parts of Maryland, okay, so that those people then can vote for a United States senator, and they would have their own congressman. That's how you do it. So
that makes sense.
Annex. You have Maryland and Virginia annexing portions of D.C., and that would solve the problem in terms of lack of representation.
Oh, that makes a lot of sense. I had not even heard of that, and I couldn't contemplate it on my own. Very, very interesting. So, the big story, of course, over the weekend was the fact that the Washington Post, the New York Times, and NBC retracted a previously issued incorrect assertion that where there were errors in their reporting. So
about Rudy Giuliani and the FBI.
All about that, yeah.
Yep.
So what does that tell us about reporting, or is it about reporting, or is it disinformation that's being disseminated in order to undermine media?
No, I don't think it's an intentional dissemination of disinformation, which is what Russia has been doing for the last couple of years regarding our politics. And which is why the FBI is investigating Rudy Giuliani. I think it is that whatever source the Times and the New York Post were using had bad information. You know, when you try to check sources with the editor and all of that, you try to make sure that you have it right. And if you don't have it right, you go out immediately and you retract and you apologize, which is what these news outlets did, because they're legitimate news outlets, whereas the New York Post and Fox News are not. They've never retracted anything unless they've been sued for $1 billion. That's right.
Right.
So that's the difference.
Wow. And so how can one like I know in what I do, for example, that I also check sources, and it takes a lot of work and effort to trust sources.
Yep, it does.
And
that's
it, it gets built over time. It doesn't happen because some good-looking babe says to me, "Oh, you got to trust Joan or John, and and they're good and everything else." And that's all fine, but it takes years really to build that up. Otherwise, you know, I could be a much bigger operation than I am today. But it takes time, and you got to accept that. How do you know when somebody doesn't have all the facts?
Well, you don't. That's the problem. The problem is you trust the source because in the past they've been accurate, generally speaking.
Correct.
It's not somebody that's coming up to you all of a sudden and saying, "Well, bye, I have a tip, I have this, I have that." This is a source that you relied on in the past that's given you fact-based information and that you trust the source. You vetted the source.
Mm-hmm.
But if the source's information is wrong for whatever reason, and let's rule out intentionally trying to make Rudy Giuliani look bad. He looks bad anyway. But if the source's information is not right on the button, then you end up printing something that isn't true. And that's what happened.
Exactly.
It doesn't mean that Rudy Giuliani is not under investigation. He is. What it means is,
he is under investigation.
the warning that they say the FBI gave to Giuliani a year before was not given.
Uh-huh. Okay. Unbelievable. Well, there was also another story about a justice, Clarence Thomas.
Mm-hmm.
He's turned talkative, is the way the article goes. And what's going on? Why the switch for someone like him? Or do we yet know?
I don't really know, except I know his wife is heavily involved in conservative causes. And
uh-huh.
I think Clarence Thomas is erring on the being too political side. He should really keep his mouth shut. He's a member of the court. He shouldn't be engaging in discussions about politics or motivations or, you know, why people are doing what they're doing. His job is to decide cases and decide whether laws are constitutional or not. That's
exactly. That
he
makes a lot of sense.
He doesn't have
to
a
me.
Job in the
Well, I wanted to ask you also. I was really shocked to see what's a woman's name is Bartiromo. She made a report. I don't remember on what state. But she made a report that there are a lot of people coming across our southern border from Texas. The river is very narrow and so on and so forth.
Mm-hmm.
And people that are still coming in think the border is open. And then our Border Patrol tells them it's not. But a lot of people are coming in and also children are coming in. Is there anything more that we can do to dissuade people, or is there such desperation south of the border, whether it be in Mexico, Guatemala, Honduras, wherever you look, and from all over the world who use South America as a conduit to America, is there anything that could be done? Can we change the dynamic? Because we're going to get a lot of people. Can we even afford it?
Well, first,
what do you
yes.
do with children without parents?
Well, that's right. That's the problem. These people are sending unaccompanied minors across the border because they think their kids will be taken in. And I think we have an obligation to send a message that we're going to send your children back. Don't bother. So if we sent these kids, put them on a bus back to their hometowns, and the parents would understand that they can't just send their kids without themselves coming to the United States.
Right. I was shocked to hear that for each individual that comes across the border or is taken across the border or shown where the border crossing is, they pay $4,000 a head to get them out of whatever poverty and, you know, political decay they have in their country. Can America be the answer to everybody as far as these issues are concerned? What do you think? Let me see. I think. Bear with me a second. I hope we're on. Can you hear me, Michael? I guess we are on, and I just can't hear you from your end. So hopefully you can hear me, and so you're talking, and unfortunately I hope I'm not talking over you, which would not be good. You're the guest, as they say. Unbelievable. I wonder what the cause of this is. Okay. Well, eventually I'm sure you that we're not having a discussion, so you'll hang up and call back and we'll see what goes on. I don't know what this is. No, I'm definitely on, but that doesn't mean that Michael Edelman hears me. Well, unfortunately, we maybe just lost the connection for whatever reason, and there's no way around it. That's it. So it's only about 10:46. So unfortunately, I'm going to on, not out of disrespect, but because we're just not evidently hearing him. Okay, so what we're going to do is we're going to go into some other issues. Bear with me a moment here. And let me get to some other stuff that we've done. Let me first go on to the local scene, and let me move on to that. Bear with me. Okay. Let's go to the front page of the Yonkers Tribune. And this is very interesting. He's a right-winger, Bob Weir. He wrote an article, which I thought was really very interesting and intriguing, that was. And the article is entitled, Why Doesn't the GOP Go After the Squad? It's written by Bob Weir. He's based out of Flower Mound, Texas. And the article was written or posted today, even though I received it yesterday. So he writes, a serious problem in our country is the lack of commitment. Okay, so evidently, Michael Edelman did try to call back, and evidently the line is not allowing him to. So we'll see. It's not ringing in. Hold on a minute. Let me do one more thing. Maybe that's something I could have seen and I didn't see. Okay. All right. Yeah. It looks like his number has been dropped. So I'm going to now call him back. Bear with me a second. One second. Okay. I think we're going to be able to get it done. 1 minute. I have to check my work here to make sure that we're not calling the wrong person. Okay, let's try to give him a call.
Hello.
Hi. Somehow, I don't know why, we got disconnected. So
okay.
Thanks for, I didn't recognize it. And it looked like we were on, but evidently didn't realize you called. So I wanted to ask you about this whole issue of the troubles that we're having across the border. What can be done? I don't want to review what Trump did. That was then.
What Trump did, we're talking about now. You can't separate children from their parents. So that's first. Okay.
Well,
so the United States.
Mistake.
Yeah. That's correct. So the United States doesn't do stuff like that. That's number
correct.
One. And number two. As I said before, I lost connection. I think what they ought
right.
to do is send a message, is get these big trains or buses and put these children on them and send them right back to where they came from and tell these parents, don't send your kids. They can't send their children unaccompanied to the United States. They can't dump these kids off. So, you know, maybe we can work with Mexico and have a shelter in Mexico on the Mexican side of the border that is paid for. We can pay for part of it. Maybe Salvador and Honduras can pay for another part of it, and we can keep them there, but they can't flood into the United States.
Okay. And yeah, that makes sense to me, but somehow it wasn't a process that was discussed before.
Well, I'm not sure.
And maybe it's too soon.
I don't know. They're obviously going to have to deal with the problem, and I have no idea what they're going to do. All I can tell you is the wall doesn't work. They're climbing the wall. Why is the door closed? That's what I said. Why isn't it closed?
I don't know. I don't know. I don't understand it, if you must know. Can't fathom what's going on. Hear that the wall is also decaying and rotting and whatever, and so it's really not much of a wall. And the river is not that broad.
That's right.
So that
it's very
can
easy.
Can actually walk across. Like, I don't think they have to swim it. They can even walk it.
That's right. It's
it is what it
walk.
Is.
Yep.
Is it because the people who patrol the border, they say they're overwhelmed? And
I'm sure they are.
They hired thousands and thousands of.
Yeah, but the border is 3,000 miles long.
That's true,
right?
Too.
Exactly.
You're right. So it's not going to work too. It doesn't work too easily. What else did you find very pertinent that was discussed on Sunday? Because I did not. That you find is really like at the top of the food chain, so to speak. What should we be looking at later on this week?
When you were off the air, you started reading a letter from Bob Weir that you posted on Yonkers Tribune, and he wanted the GOP to go after the squad. I think the first order of business for Republicans is to go after Marjorie Taylor Greene and Boebert and Paul Gosar, who opened the door to the Capitol and let the protesters in as United States congressmen. And the people
I
that
agree.
Booed Mitt Romney and Liz Cheney is going to be jettisoned from leadership position. That's who the GOP, you know, in the 1960s, William F. Buckley cleaned the GOP up by getting rid of the John Birchers and the Ku Kluxers. He got them out of the party. All right. And the party was able to go on and win elections with Nixon and Reagan. Okay. Well, what's happening now is that the hard right fringe of the party is rearing its ugly head. So before Bob Weir says that Republicans should go after the Democrats, let the Democrats take care of their radicals. Let him and the Republicans take care and clean their own house.
That's a very good point. You know, that's a very, very good point. So does it look like we're going to be cleaning up on both sides of the aisle, or is it just
you can't prevent a congressman from saying what they want to say, but that doesn't mean you have to embrace. That doesn't mean the mainstream of the party has to embrace it.
Correct. No, that makes a lot of sense. It seemed a little bit more balanced. I only talk about one side of the political aisle, so he's not balanced that way, that's for sure. And so what do we have to look forward to? Are we so divided now that it really doesn't matter? Biden
probably
seems to be working very hard. But I don't know if he's getting converts yet. It's too soon.
I think that the people that decide elections are those people that are in the middle, moderate Republicans, independents, suburban women, college-educated people. I think when Joe Biden proves that he was able to direct the vaccine rollout and that we have, you know, 200 million people finally vaccinated, we can get back to normal. I think with his infrastructure bill, when people start seeing their roads and bridges getting fixed, I think that will be the end of the ability of Donald Trump to do anything.
And what about also from the financial markets? The financial markets got a boost because of the Biden administration and the influx of money that he's sending out, and that's made a big turnaround in our economy. Are we spending it the right way, do you think, or are we not, because we're not employing people in building or rebuilding our infrastructure. Is that the next step or the third step along the way?
Well, we will as soon as they pass the infrastructure portion of his legislation. They will start fixing roads, but we're eighth in the world, I think, in infrastructure, and that's really the game. We were first for a very long time. When Eisenhower built the interstate roads, highways, the United States was, you know, first. Now we're behind basically every Western democracy there is. We're behind France, Germany. We're behind Spain. We're behind Italy, behind Japan. We don't have high-speed rail service. We don't have our bridges are falling apart. Our tunnels are falling apart. Our roads are cracked. We've neglected it because of tax cuts. Instead of spending the money, where only a federal government can spend money, which is on Project Everybody, they gave that money to the wealthiest and to the corporations. That was the Bush, the Reagan Bush tax cuts, which didn't work. They didn't do what they were supposed to do.
And is it illogical to think also that a lot of the corporations in the world, the big ones, do you think they're going to be moving out of the country because it would be cheaper for them to pay taxes abroad than to pay it here?
No, I don't think they're going to move at all.
Okay. Because that was like the ugly man on the street, because that was the talk at one time.
Yeah, I think that's a scare tactic employed by Republicans to threaten the loss of jobs if these companies move.
See.
But they're not going to move.
They're not going to move.
No.
What about, I saw something on 60 Minutes yesterday which blew my mind. I had no idea that even though we can conceptualize building chips for high technology items, cars and computers and everything else, that we don't have the capacity to do it. And there was a company in on the island of Formosa and off of China that can do it and is preeminent. And we just don't have the capacity or the investment money in that sort of thing. Are we losing our way? Have we lost so much intellectual prowess because the Chinese have been stealing it from us?
Yep, partially. We
can
haven't
we do
been
anything
acting...
more about that or no?
Well, I hope so. I hope Joe Biden has, you know, the wherewithal. I think once we get back on track, we can be just as productive as China. The thing in China is they don't have divisive politics in China. They don't have two parties or three parties or four parties. They have no parties.
Yeah, they do whatever.
They have,
that's right.
They have an authoritarian communist party led by Xi. And he does what he wants to do, and that makes it a lot easier. They don't have any arguments. We have a lot of arguments. The Democrats want to spend money. The Republicans say no. The Republicans want to cut taxes. And the Democrats say no. So we argue over everything because we're a democracy. And so eventually the gears start to stick.
Yeah, they do. We've come to that point. I guess that's the problem.
Yep.
Well, it's going to be very exciting to see how America maneuvers through this whole process and see where it goes.
Right.
And thankfully you're around so we can find out the answers.
There you go.
Thanks a million.
You're
welcome. It.
I'm glad
all
you're
the
feeling
best
better.
To you.
Speak to you next
Thank
week.
You. Bye. A little long, so none other than Michael Edelman. So I think Michael Edelman has already done the job before he was going to be so,
to investigate the Mount Vernon police department by the Congress or the and he disgraced and pushed out. But so many things that he did, and with his corporation counsel, Larry or Lawrence Procari, has proven to be correct in its interpretation of the law. But the real problem was Sean Patterson Howard. The controller has undermined a best practice in being on time, being credible, having sharing information with the department. The information that she stores, but just simply accessing, making accessible the information, which she has not. Interestingly enough, we've got elections coming up for next year, and she is not running. Very, very interesting. Fascinating as well, Lieutenant Governor Kathy Hochul is with the Yonkers Armory COVID-19 vaccination site. So that was very interesting. She came here on Thursday, celebrating the work of Andrea Stewart Cousins, the Senate leader, as well as the most recently elected assembly member of representing Yonkers, and that's Nader Sayers, who represents District 90, which is 75% of that district is all Yonkers. The other 30 to 35% is represented by Gary Pretlow, who represents predominantly the city of Mount Vernon. So, very interesting. Then we also posted an article, an op-ed piece written by a Miriam E. Roko. Some people probably call her Miriam E. Roko. She's the Westchester County District Attorney. And her op-ed piece was Why Derek Chauvin Got Convicted. It's an interesting read. It has electrified our readers. You can read what the comments are, which is really very interesting. Well, in the Small Business Association, they've announced applications for opening up $28.6 billion for restaurant revitalization fund for the Small Business Administration. So that's something very pertinent and will help revive and resuscitate restaurants and so on and so forth. And you can register for an account in advance at restaurants.sba.gov starting this past April 30th. The link is available there, and hopefully you'll find out the survival of your business. Okay, so let's move back. And let me just see what else is here. I don't know if we had the opportunity to tell you about the Westchester County Board of Elections invalidating the Abdul-Malik Mdouma's petition to contest the candidacy of John Ruda, who represents the 4th District. And he is running because Abdul-Malik's candidacy was contested. And it's being now contested by the Abdul Malik and the Umar campaign, and the number of votes that were contested fall within a margin of only 3 or 4 votes that are being contested. That's the minimum. So it was very critical that Abdul Malik Military Academy at this stupendous round of emperor who was decreed to staff a yoga in Helena. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you.
Osama bin Laden, a moment I will never forget, to reaffirm his decision to remove all U.S. troops from Afghanistan. We followed bin Laden to the gates of hell, and we brought him by the same thing that we used to have in the White House. Sat with an oversized portrait of the victim. Don Day's lawyers also managed to obtain the withdrawal of one of several psychiatric evaluations, citing the potential bias by one of the experts who had discussed the case on a popular TV show. But Danan Hujold, a lawyer for the Noyer family, said he was confident the jurors would have sufficient insight to Day's personality because he will reveal it to us on his own. So, very, very compelling case. We'll be certainly keeping abreast of it. And let's just look one more time. One second. All right, well, we're going to be doing more about Napoleon Bonaparte over the next few days, so hopefully you will be able to join us. Assertion. Lebanon's central bank chief is facing corruption allegations in France. Unbelievable. An anti-corruption group has submitted a legal complaint in France against Lebanon's central bank governor with foreign investments, including after he owes millions of euros to people involved in the violent rape today. Shelter, the Lebanese organization that defends victims of economic crimes, said in a statement that it is there's about spent on Friday and there's suspicious real estate purchases in France. And shown the documents on many occasions highlighting that the source of his wealth was acquired before taking up his post in 1993. I've also declared that my properties in France were acquired prior to being governor. Salamé's brother, son, and an associate are also named in the legal complaint, Sidrala Urso, head of the illicit financial fraud program at Shelpa. We are targeting the ill-gotten gains acquired in France, and more specifically, we are targeting the numerous investments overseas that make the suspicious origins of his, meaning Salamé's fortune, in France, she told Reuters. Lebanon's financial and political elite have long been under scrutiny over allegations of mismanagement, corruption, and obstruction, and obstructing efforts to unlock international aid. This is the latest complaint filed on suspected Lebanese corruption to authorities in there. Salamé has dismissed previous corruption allegations against it as a smear campaign. But the 81-page complaint in France, seen by lawyers, outlines what it says are assets, companies, and investment vehicles across Europe with hundreds of millions of euros to alleged Salamé, which alleges that Salamé, members of his family, and his associates used over years to divert funds out of Lebanon. France's national financial prosecutor, where the complaint was filed with the Collective Association of Victims of Fraudulent and Criminal Practices in Lebanon, was not immediately available for comment. The complaint also lists 20 senior Lebanese politicians and suggests bank owners and shareholders who could also be targeted in the future. Lebanon faces a financial crisis in which banks have blocked loans transfer on their goals and cut access to deposits and dollars from scarce and has dragged down the chances that it is the end of this affair. France will have to ensure that ill-gotten funds will be returned to serve the general interest, improve the living conditions of the Lebanese, strengthen the rule of law and fight against corruption. Jephthah has said. The moving homage successfully gone around the world and is reaching critical by unbelievable. Anyway. One second. Very interesting. Well, but the Rohingya refugee camp, the refugees are fighting to remove deadly barbed wire Bangladesh, at many Bangladesh camps. A number of Rohingya refugees were killed when they tried to escape a series of fires that ripped through refugee camps in March of 2021. Only to be trapped by recently installed fences. Activists are now calling for these fences to be removed. They say they are just the latest in a series of policies implemented by the Bangladeshi government aimed at making things so difficult for the refugees that they leave. At least 15 people were killed in March and April 2021. When a series of fires swept the sprawling refugee camps near Cox's Bazar in Bangladesh. Many of the victims were unable to escape due to the barbed wire fences enclosing the camp. Bangladeshi government started putting in the fences in late 2019, cutting off the camps that were home to 800,000 members of the Rohingya ethnic minority who fled persecution in their native Myanmar in 2017. According to our observers, these fences are meant to prevent the Rohingya from moving outside of their camps without outright banning it. The Remove the Fence campaign has been calling for the removal of these fences and posting photos and videos documenting the danger they pose. We're not second-class humans that should be busy. King Mong lives in Camp 13 of Uhya, Cox's Bazar, and is the founder of the Rohingya Youth Association. He says that these fences shattered the lives of refugees when they started to appear in late 2019. Quote, "You can't move around freely anymore. When the fires broke out, people tried to flee and finding themselves trapped, hurt themselves trying to get over them. Everything is becoming more complicated. There are these fences and at the camp entrance, there is a gate with guards like a checkpoint. The idea is to cut us off from the rest of society. We feel like second-class citizens who must be hidden. We are thankful to the Bangladeshi government for having welcomed us in 2017, but we want to be able to continue to enjoy our liberty." So, and several NGOs, like a non-governmental organization, like the Human Rights Watch, also denounced the installation of these fences. HRW called the fences discriminatory and said that they infringed upon basic rights and humanitarian needs. And a couple of days ago, I caught the beginnings of what seemed like a cold, only two sneezes then, two sneezes the next day, and two sneezes today. So hopefully it's on the way out. and that's about it. I think about 11:36 is a little bit earlier than expected. I'm not going to push myself further to 12, but But we've got a great show coming up for you tomorrow. I hope you'll consider joining us then. We have legal counsel, Jeff Schwartz, as well as Brendan Beery. These are specialists in criminal and constitutional law. And they will discuss tomorrow the Constitution. And so as they discuss the Constitution, which is extremely, extremely exciting, we'll see what sort of subjects they pick up on. They'll be on from 10 to 11. From 11 to 11:30, it's Tuesday. We'll have, we should be having, bear with me a second, City Council President Mike Cater. And from 11:30 to 11, we'll be speaking to, one more second, James Nolan. Thank you. He's running for Westchester County Legislative District. So we've got a lot to cover. Very, very compelling day. And hopefully you'll be able to. Intriguing as well, and we'll speak to you tomorrow.